North American Union, the African Union, the Asian Union, certainly the Arab Union. All of these are being established at the present time. And then, of course, once they have them all together, they will be able to unify them. But the first thing to do is to do away with national sovereignty. And this really does away with national sovereignty as we know it, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does. I mean, it's remarkable. I tracked this NAFTA superhighway and the Vice President Cheney's denial. And I compared it. There's a trade association, NASCO, the North American Super Corridor Coalition. It's in Dallas. And I show that NASCO, that this corridor coalition does the same thing. It says there are no plans to build a NAFTA superhighway. It exists today as I-35. Well, that's confirmation that I-35 is appropriately called the NAFTA superhighway. And NASCO itself wants to distinguish somehow. It's okay to talk about a North American super corridor. That's in NASCO's name. That's what the acronym means. But yet they deny that there is a NAFTA superhighway except for Interstate 35. I mean, they want to mislead people. I also show that Jeffrey Shane, who is an Undersecretary of Transportation at the U.S. Department of Treasury, U.S. Department of Transportation. By the way, Jeffrey Shane also heads the working group, the North American Working Group on Transportation. Well, Jeffrey Shane testified to a subcommittee in the House on Highways and Transit, the subcommittee of the House on Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and Shane said he was not familiar with any plan at all related to NAFTA or cross-border traffic. And then Representative Peter DeFazio questioned aloud whether Shane was just gaming semantics, and the congressman jumped all over him. They said, look, here's what's going on with the NAFTA superhighway. You know, here's the Trans-Texas Corridor. Here's the plans. It's going to be financed by Cintra, C-I-N-T-R-A, an investment consortium in Spain. The NASCO map, originally on their website, which I published in WorldNet Daily and discuss at length in the book and give you the references for, shows the Continental Highway connecting down in Lazaro Cardenas and then up into Canada, connecting over to Montreal and to Vancouver in the west. But yet NASCO, when they got criticized, and we started writing about them, they've done now 3 makeovers of their website, and they've taken this map off. So every time we expose what's going on, you get a vice president saying, no, it's not happening. And the people who, are inclined just to believe that denial don't look at the evidence for themselves. It's why I've left my articles up on WorldNet Daily and Human Events. You can search my name, Corsi, C-O-R-S-I. The articles all have links in them. The book, I made the book easy to read. It's 235 pages, but there's 30 pages of footnotes. You can read the book in 2 settings, but you can go to the footnotes and see the original government documents for yourself. So rather than believing Vice President Cheney's denials, go look at what he's denying and make up your own mind. People look at the government documents, they're shocked, and they say, yes, this is a NAFTA superhighway, and it is being constructed with the intent to bring millions of containers into the heart of the United States, with cities like San Antonio, now even Denver, and Kansas City declaring themselves inland ports. Well, there's no water around Denver. It's not the Platte River. It's Denver wants through the plains, the Ports Corridor Coalition, to build an I-35 4 football field wide highway and a rural path that will come up through the panhandle in Oklahoma from Laredo, Texas, and connect into Denver along Lyman, coming in along Route 70, Interstate 70. These plans exist. They're on the Internet. People can read them. I give you exactly where to go. In the book, I show you exactly where to go to see the documentation on the government websites.
And, of course, this will mean that the Mexican will be able to come to this country. They'll be able to get onto our social welfare system, enjoy all the benefits of being American citizens. And the reason, of course, the president wants to give the people who are here illegally amnesty is because we're going to unite the peoples of Mexico, the United States, and Canada, But he cannot tell the American people that. Oh, he says, I am against amnesty. I just want the people who are here to be able to stay here and become citizens. But I'm against amnesty. I mean, I believe our official language should be English here in the United States. But if you go to his website, you'll find that all of his speeches are available in Spanish. I wonder why.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Union, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, we will have a new southern border. It'll be much easier to guard than the one we have now. It'll be the southern border of Mexico. And that's how we're going to keep the terrorists out of the United States, is by guarding the southern border of Mexico. And you may not think that sounds very logical, but so much of what's going on today is not logical. We sent our boys halfway around the world to bleed and suffer and fight and die in the sands of Iraq. They're fighting over there, of course, as we know, the terrorists, but of course the president refuses to stop the terrorists from coming in through our southern border. They're fighting for democracy and freedom, but we're losing our freedom here at home, because our freedom is based upon the unique construction of our nation as a sovereign nation under a constitution under God, and of course the president, or I should say the people who control the president, because that would be Dick Cheney and the globalists, are intent upon doing away with national sovereignty and merging us into this North American Union, as we say, as the, all the other unions they're creating throughout the world. And the fact that people are not hearing this being discussed every day is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think, because the globalists control the media largely, and thank goodness for Joe Farah and WorldNet Daily, and for talk radio and shortwave and the internet, and the ability, at least on a certain limited capacity, to get the information out. Lou Dobbs, and it's very gratifying to know, the vast majority of the American people support sovereignty. They just can't quite connect the dots. And that's why Dr. Corsi's work is so valuable. Well, do you think we're making any progress? People are beginning to understand?
Oh, I think so. Dr. Sam, we've got now 14 states that have passed resolutions that say no North American Union, pull out of the Security and Prosperity Partnership, and don't build any NAFTA superhighways. Congressman Virgil Gould introduced a similar motion, House Concurrent Resolution 40, into the Congress. He's gaining supporters saying the same thing.
Now, wasn't there some sort of legislation that was in the House saying no NAFTA highway?
Duncan Hunter submitted last week a resolution, an amendment, to the transportation funding bill for the Department of Transportation that said that no funding could be used for working groups in SPP that were going to build NAFTA superhighways. Now, that passed overwhelmingly in the House. Something like 362 members voted for that amendment. And it was when the transportation bill passed, Duncan Hunter's amendment was included in it. Now, if that goes through the Senate, we've got to follow it and make sure the senators keep Duncan Hunter's amendment in the bill. When it goes to the president, if he signs the transportation bill, he'll have to disband the Security and Prosperity Partnership Transportation Working Group that's actively building this NAFTA superhighway.
Well, okay? That would mean that they would be following the law, but so often they really don't care, it seems, what the duly elected representatives want, what the American people want. They have their own agenda, and they really are above the law. I mean, they make the law. They lie consistently when they're testifying before Congress, and but people like George Tenet, and Gonzalez, and the others are never prosecuted for perjuring themselves or lying under oath. They seem to have it almost like a built-in immunity. They can say whatever they want to, and despite the fact that we know they're lying because of conflicting testimony, nothing is ever done to them.
Well, that's right, Dr. Sand. And also, these executive orders. I mean, this whole move to sell our highway infrastructure, George H.W. Bush signed on April 30th, 1992, Executive Order 12803. And it allowed our infrastructure to be privatized so the highways could be sold to private investment interests, including foreign investment consortia. That's how now we have a whole website at the Federal Highway Administration on PPP showing how to sell our highway infrastructure off to foreigners.
Well, we're already doing it. They've already sold off the New Jersey Turnpike, the Ohio Turnpike. They've sold the Chicago Skyway. They're selling our roads all across America. And so, but there doesn't seem to be much of an outcry about that. I don't think most people understand. Of course, New Jersey says we've got to be able to meet our obligations this year, but what are they going to sell next year and the year after that? Go right ahead, Jerome. Well, we'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Jerome Corsi as we discuss the North American Union. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi. We're talking about his new book, The Late, A Great USA, and of course it's a takeoff on that wonderful book from many years ago by Hal Lindsey, The Great, Great Planet Earth. And is that sort of where you got the idea for your book?
Yes, and in fact Hal Lindsey was kind enough to give us a comment on the back of the book. He said, The Late, Great USA is a real winner that sounds like a clarion call, to the nation. The book uncovers the careful deceptions of a powerful elite who want to undermine our sovereignty before we realize it. I consider this a must-read for every American. That's what Hal Lindsey said about The Late, Great USA. And it was with his permission and using his title, because I say now we're at the risk of losing the United States of America, just like the states of, you know, the countries of Europe, well, they still exist. Italy, Germany, France, all the other countries have compromised their sovereignty to be in the European Union. Today it's the nameless bureaucrats in Luxembourg and Brussels who tell Italy what laws they can pass and what laws they can't pass. And if these bureaucrats don't like Alitalia because it's been subsidized since it was created by the Italian government for creating tourism, the EU bureaucrats, these nameless, unelected people, just tell Italy it's got to sell Alitalia or restructure it. Stop subsidizing it. It offends them. Well, and the, you know, the Italians have no say over that. Otherwise, they're thrown out of the EU, and the Italian legislatures have to rubber stamp whatever the Brussels and Luxembourg bureaucrats tell them to do. And we're headed in the same direction. That's why it's the Late, Great USA. We've already got Chapter 11, NAFTA tribunals, which can overturn U.S. laws if it adversely affects a NAFTA investor. We have the Supreme Court deciding that we cannot impose our environmental regulations on Mexican trucks when they come across the border. Under NAFTA, we have to let them come across the border with any environmental disasters they want to cause. We can't enforce our own laws. And that's the kind of condition in the state that countries, the great countries of Europe now find themselves in, having subjected themselves to the North American Union, allowed their currencies to dissolve into the euro. They don't even have control over their own monetary system.
And I fear that is soon going to happen in America. In fact, it's my sincere belief that one reason of their central bank is, our central bank is doing what they're doing is to destroy the dollar.
Well, exactly right. Well,
this is Dr. Stan. I was just saying that it is my belief that the central bank of the United States, the privately owned central bank that controls the banking of this country and certainly issues the money that's printed by the Treasury Department, but it always at the behest of the Federal Reserve System, which is a privately owned bank made up of people who are globalists who hate America, and they've been able to create all sorts of money to enrich themselves and buy up the media and the corporations. But their ultimate goal has always been this new world order, this new world religion, this new world leader. Well, before we go on, Dr. Corsi, I'd like you to get out a website where people can get your information, and of course we will be carrying your book, as we do carry your last book, and that was on the Minutemen. But Sydney, if you'd like to go ahead and get about your website where people can get your information.
Yes, I understand. The book, The Late, Great USA, The Coming Merger with Mexico and Canada, it's a WorldNet Daily book. I've left my articles. My articles are still archived on WorldNet Daily. Just search my name, Corsi, C-O-R-S-I, and the book is regularly advertised. I've signed copies, which are on special sale at WorldNet Daily. It's also available at Amazon.com. The book hit the extended New York Times bestseller list. We're number 28, and we ran out of books. We're into our third printing. If you go into the bookstores, they may not have them, but order it, and that'll force the bookstore to place enough of an order where we can get more printed and get them supplied in the bookstores.
Well, we will, of course, be carrying the book. I'll be calling Joe Ferrer's office tomorrow to make sure that we have a supply. And we have already been getting orders. I was very interested. This is the first time we've had orders for a book that we haven't even announced we were going to carry.
Well, thank you.
So I think that, of course, there's a tremendous amount of interest out there for the people who know what's going on. And most Americans love this country. Most Americans want to preserve this country. It is just a small group of very wealthy and powerful people who have a different worldview that, of course, are intent upon destroying it and are quite willing to send our boys overseas to fight in no-win wars. So that, of course, is a great diversion as we establish this North American Union, which is simply a stepping stone towards the loss of all freedom for all people. And as incredible as it may seem, it's a long-range plan. And behind that, I believe there are powerful spiritual forces who know exactly what they're doing. Well, do you mind if we take some callers?
I think people... that'd be great, Dr. Sam. Let's do it.
All right, fine. We've got Frank calling from New Jersey, and if you're out there, you'd like to ask any questions, certainly our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Frank, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Thank you for being my favorite mentor. I'm reading out of your occult hierarchy a quote that Dr. Dennis Cuddy provided from Arnold Toynbee. This is a very important verse. We are at present working discreetly with all our might to wrest this mysterious force called sovereignty out of the clutches of the local nation states of the world. All the time we are denying with our lips what we are doing with our hands.
And that, of course,
that's the trend for international affairs since the war. Arnold Toynbee, International Affairs, November 1931, page 809.
All right, thank you so much, Frank.
God bless you.
Listen, I think it's important to understand that Toynbee was a member of the Cecil Rhodes Secret Society, which was created back in 1891, and that they called it initially the Round Table Group, and Toynbee was a member of the Round Table. And this is simply one of a number of groups that were working, even at that time, that already fought the First World War to bring about a world government. They were preparing for a Second World War, and of course these are the same people who were actually working to finance Adolf Hitler. We had to have an enemy, and they were in the process of establishing the Nazi movement. Now, this was 1931, but believe me, there were powerful forces at that time behind the militarization of Germany, and anybody who doubts the fact that we were contributing to the build-up of the military of Germany long before the Second World War, so we could have a war to bring about the United Nations and the move towards government. And so, as Toynbee said, I mean, we deny with our lips what we're doing with our hands, and it's been going on for a long time, hasn't it, Jerry?
It has been going on for a long time, and Dr. Sam, what I point out in the book is that the international corporations, the multinational corporations, are happy to have all of our manufacturing go to China. That the goal here is money and control over people. China. International trade was never predicated on the competitive advantage of a country like China being that it could subsidize its currency and use slaves. Multinational corporations have wanted to use slaves from the beginning of history. We fought a civil war, and one of the issues in that civil war was whether or not slaves could be used in the southern economy. And what we established was it was immoral, it was wrong, and it was also bad business. But the international corporations and the, you know, allowed to pursue in the profit alone. I mean, take a look at the photographs of Jacob Riis, turn of the century, the sweatshops of children and women working in inhuman conditions, long hours, virtually no pay. Whenever unbridled profit is allowed to be pursued, the corporations head towards slaves. And now, it's unconscionable that for the benefit of cheap, high-definition TVs at Walmart and Kmart and all the other marts, that we're allowing our multinational corporations to send all of our men.
They created both political parties, or at least they dominated, whether they created it or not, they said they dominate the Republican Party today, which is pushing all sorts of socialist programs, just like the Democrats are doing. Actually, of course, the Republican Party originated just before the Civil War. But certainly the people on the other side have actually taken control of it, and this is covered in Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, where he tells about how members of the Skull and Bones long ago came up with the idea of controlling both political parties and then, of course, letting the people go to the polls every 4 years and vote for the candidate of their choice, but nothing would really change. You'll find that on pages 1247 and 1248 of Professor Quigley's book, and Professor Quigley was, of course, Bill Clinton's mentor. The book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, long suppressed but now available from Radio Liberty.
So
anything else, Eric?
So why don't we get rid of the Marxism?
Well, of course, Marxism is simply a tool. I mean, Marxism is an idea, and of course, on one hand, they talk about redistribution of the wealth, but of course, the very people who are pushing that are the very, very wealthy, and they don't want to get rid of their wealth. It's your wealth they want to redistribute. Hey, thanks so very much, Eric. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to ask Mrs. Werthmann, Mrs. Kitty Werthmann, a question, and Mrs. Werthmann, do you work with the Eagle Forum, Kitty?
Yes, I do.
All right, fine. And
yes. I also would like to mention that the European Union is exactly the redistribution of the wealth, because it has to pull up those countries, Romania, Bulgaria, former Yugoslavia, who are economically not producing, and they and their wealth, you know, the European, the Germany, and their wealth, they have to pull those countries up, and that is strictly the design of the European Union. Likewise, with our Security and Prosperity Act, we would have to pull Mexico up economically and Canada, because the Canadian dollar certainly is not equal to the American dollar, and of course the peso. No way that you could have an equal exchange. No, you have to, it's designed to pull Mexico out of poverty.
But in the process of doing that is to lower the living standards in this country as
yes.
well. So basically, of course, we'll raise the living standards in Mexico by lowering the living standards in the United States.
Right.
Incidentally,
right.
of course, the American dollar is falling very, very rapidly. It's part of the plan.
Well,
to the point where the Canadian dollar, which used to be about 60 cents, is now up to about 94 cents compared with the American dollar. And I fear very, very soon we'll surpass the value of the American dollar. As we devalue our currency, and in the process, we steal the value of the savings of the American people. We destroy the value of their currency and what they have there in their pension funds, in their insurance policies, in their CDs, their annuities, their stocks and their bonds is all going to be wiped out. And the average American one day is going to wake up and suddenly realize they've been lied to, and then it'll be, of course, far too late.
Just like what is happening in Germany and Austria,
right.
in, over there, when, you know, they were being told, you know, the story, you know, how wonderful it will be to have open borders, you can travel without a passport, and you have a common currency, you don't have to exchange at the border, and the people like to travel over there because they have 6 weeks a year paid vacation. So they are traveling all the time. And that's, they were being told how wonderful the European Union will be with open borders and all that. And what a trickery it was.
Well, now, what does gasoline would do over there? I mean, certainly, my understanding is gasoline is probably $5 or $6 a gallon over
it's
there.
It's more than that.
Really, is it?
It's more than that. I did not drive a car, but everybody was complaining how expensive gasoline is and everything else, because the American dollar is only worth 72 cents. And I remember there were times under the German mark that you got, when you exchanged your American dollar, you got for $100 400 marks.
I can remember that as well, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
4 marks and a dollar, right.
And then it trickled down little by little. And it's always, when things happen, it happens gradually, so people don't notice it so much.
Well, of course, the mark is really maintaining its strength fairly well as the dollar keeps falling and falling and falling. You say the dollar gives you how many marks at the present time?
Let me see, for $100, I think I got 61 euros.
$100, 61 euros. It used to be that the dollar was worth $1.30 to the euro. In other words, you'd get $130 for every euro, and
yeah,
now you get 60. So the dollar has fallen very dramatically, but
yeah,
the average American really doesn't understand.
No.
There's an organized effort to destroy the value of our currency, and by so doing, of course, you destroy the very stability of our society. And the average American doesn't realize what's going on any more than the average person in Germany or Austria.
No, they don't. No, they don't. It amazes me. Of course, most of the people don't read. They watch their television, and then their sports programs, and all life is directed around athletic events. And the same thing in Europe, it's athletic events, go, and the same thing here. There is more athletic events than anything else, and that is actually designed for the American public not to read or see anything serious.
Well, I think it's really more of a diversion, because, of course, if the people could really understand what was going on, they would be furious with their leaders to realize that they are betraying them and, of course, stealing their lifelong earnings. But, of course, this is the way the system really works. And, of course, what they've done here in the United States and what they've done over in Europe is simply by the process of inflation. They have gradually, of course, eroded the value of our currency. Now, things are not quite as bad in Germany as they are here. Actually, what the American people would not understand is that the central bank, the Federal Reserve System, was established in the United States in 1913 to give us a stable dollar, so the dollar would always buy the same thing. They've destroyed over 96% of the value of the 1913 dollar, and they're going to destroy the rest of it if we give them a chance. Since 1971, when the U.S. went off the currency, they have increased the amount of money in circulation 12-fold, and they've increased the federal debt 19-fold. 19 times increase in the federal deficit here in the United States. In the last 36 years. And anybody would like to verify that, you give us a call. We'll send you the pages from the congressional testimony of Alan Greenspan. And certainly, as Ron Paul was questioning Alan Greenspan back in the year 2005. The average American does not understand what's happening. It's happening so slowly, he is totally unaware of it. What can we do about what's going on,
well,
Mrs.
Well, the best thing is if people who are really concerned about, read the book by Dr. Jerome Corsi, Amazon.com. That book explains everything. And it's written by a man of high character. He is a graduate of the Harvard School, and he discovered all this by filing Freedom of Information Act.
Right.
And they had to give him the documentation of this whole thing with Mexico and Canada.
And of course, the book is called The Late Great USA.
Yes.
The Late Great USA. So I certainly agree with Mrs. Zipper.
That's what people need to read.
Right. It's an excellent, excellent book. And we do have a four-tape set that includes interviews with Dr. Corsi, called, of course, The North American Community, The Demise of National Sovereignty. The North American Community, The Demise of National Sovereignty, and The Late Great USA. Our guest has been Mrs. Kitty Werthmann. Well, Kitty, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What is the message you would like to leave with our listeners tonight?
The message would be keep reading serious literature. Discount everything what the news media is telling you. Listen to conservative publications, and above all, read the book by Dr. Jerome Corsi.
How old were you when you came to the United States?
I was 22.
I see. Well, of course, you'd seen, of course. Now, were you actually living in Germany under Hitler?
In Austria.
In Austria.
I was living in Austria under Hitler's brutal regime. And after World War II, when that was over, I lived for 3 years under Soviet communist occupation.
Right. And then, of course, how were you able to get to the United States?
I immigrated.
I see. Okay. You didn't have any difficulty coming in at that
time,
then? No.
My family were totally anti-Nazi, and, of course, everybody had to be very quiet about it. Otherwise, everybody would have been arrested. And because of my family's standing, I had no problem to get a visa to come to the United States.
Well, I'm certainly glad you did, and I'm certainly glad you are here and you're going around and talking to people and trying to get them to understand that freedom is not free, and if they're not involved, then, of course, the other side is simply going to win by default. And there really are people out there who have a different worldview, who really do not believe in individual freedom. How long do you think we have, if the American people don't get involved in this battle?
Well, the Security and Prosperity Act is a five-year, it has a five-year span. By 2010, it will be, if nothing is being done about. A bill currently is in Congress right now to rescind all that, but it all depends what the Congress is going to do about. But if not, by 2010, we're going to be integrated with Mexico and Canada.
Amen to that. Well, God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us. We'd love to get you onto some of our other programs, and I'll be calling you off the air to see if we can get you on to tell your story to our other audiences. Good night, and God bless.
God bless. God bless America.
Amen to that. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Kitty Werthmann, who, of course, had come from Austria to the United States when she was a young woman, and values the freedom that she has here because she had lived under Hitler's tyranny in Austria, and then, of course, under the communist tyranny. Certainly, if you want to understand what's really happening, if you want to understand who it was who financed Adolf Hitler, let me suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and, of course, Professor Sutton's book, of Wall Street and the rise of Hitler. To understand the relationship between the communists and the people who control our government, you need to get our little pamphlet called The Communist-Capitalist Alignment. The Communist-Capitalist Alliance. And, of course, it's a takeoff on a phrase that Solzhenitsyn used in his speech before the United Auto Workers in 1975. And, of course, it's a compilation of three of our newsletters, four of our newsletters, actually. The Communist-Capitalist Alignement. You need to get that. You need to read it. And you need to pass it out far and wide. Because communism has been financed and helped and supported from the United States since its inception, which doesn't make sense unless, of course, there's another force out there that people don't recognize, and that's the spiritual force we talk about so frequently, of course, that has been hidden from the American people. And that's why you really would want to hear my talk on the Forbidden Secret and get the DVD that goes along with that, it's DVD, and then, of course, there's the syllabus. Now, certainly, we recommend very strongly Jerome Corsi's book, The Late Grace USA, that goes into the whole idea of the Security and Prosperity Partnership and shows you the government documents that are being actively suppressed, but which Dr. Corsi was able to get under the Freedom of Information Act. Then you'll want to get our four-tape set on the North American Community, The Demise of National Sovereignty. That's a four-tape or four-CD set. We have all of the information and anything that we have actually created while you have our permission to copy and reduplicate. So remember our telephone number, if you'd like to reach us, is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I want to remind you that we do actually have a scheduled all-day conference here in the Monterey Bay area on the 28th of October, and we've got a great lineup of speakers. Program's going to begin at 8 o'clock in the morning, go till 5:30 in the evening. We do hope that many of you will be able to come. Again, our telephone number, if you'd like to get a reservation, either for to come or for the hotels, and the hotel rooms will only be at their special cost for another week to 10 days, and then you're going to have to pay the full fare if you're coming in. But of course, our number here is 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we'll be serving lunch. We need to know how many people are coming so we can tell the Aptos Seascape Golf Course people. But it's a lovely and beautiful spot. And, of course, we'll have a great time. We always do. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. The date, October the 28th. It's a Sunday. But we put it on a Sunday because we had a so much better turnout last year. There were many people who couldn't make it on a Saturday. So then, of course, if you have not yet, of course, seen the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, or the DVD, Riddles in Stone. And both of these are award-winning DVDs. The first one's about 2.25 hours. The second one's almost 3 hours long. But tremendous interviews, tremendous amount of information there, and, of course, a very dramatic presentation. Both of these have won awards for excellence. But they tell you the part of the history that no one will ever tell you. And that is that when America was founded, there were two forces here. One was the Christian, and the other was the occult. That's the eternal battle that has been with us since the beginning of recorded time. And so please pray for America and pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, this evening, the views for this hour of Barry Shamish. And Barry is a Jewish patriot who's worked very, very hard through the years to try to educate the people of Israel about what's going on in their country, and he was certainly instrumental in convincing many people in Israel that their premier, Prime Minister Rabin, was actually assassinated, not as the people had been told, but as part of a government intelligence plot to replace him. And so, and of course, it was to bring a man named Perez to power. Well, of course, a lot of waters got under the bridge. That had happened many years ago, but Barry is very well known in Israel and certainly throughout the world for his efforts to popularize the understanding of what really happened to Prime Minister Rabin and President Rabin, I believe it's Prime Minister. And, of course, he has written a book about this. And then, of course, more recently, he's come under tremendous pressure. He was actually forced to leave Israel for fear of his life. And he's living in the United States now. And we're privileged to have him on our program as he tries to explain, not only to the American people, but hopefully to the miracle of shortwave and Internet, that what's really going on in Israel today is the fact that Israel is being betrayed by its leaders. And of course, you hear all the time about how, oh, it's the Zionists who control Washington, D.C., and manipulating American foreign policy, and nothing could be further from the truth. It is the Council on Foreign Relations that controls Israel and its government, and certainly Mr. Olmert, and of course, Perez. Perez seems to have ties into the Vatican, and then there's Barak, who's the defense minister, who's taken the gas masks away from the Israeli citizens and won't give them back again. And although there is a very real danger of war and of chemical and biological attack, the Minister of Defense, over the objection of many of his ministers and the other people in the defense establishment, absolutely refuses to allow the Israeli citizens who've always had gas masks to have gas masks today. Because after all, it might frighten Syria and think there's going to be a war. Well, I think there is going to be a war. And I think that hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Israelis will die because of the policies of Mr. Barak. And with that as a background, Barry Shamish, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, I feel terrible for you that you have to hear me twice in a day.
Barry, I always enjoy you. And Chris, you can say the same things you said this afternoon because this is an entirely different audience.
Well, I know that, but the facts from Israel remain the same. I don't make them up. They don't change in a few hours. And I just look at it, well, you phoned me today at 3:30. That doesn't seem like a lot of time, but, you know, I made a few notes. This was I thought it was a good week because it was Rosh Hashanah, and there were 4 days without news. But no, it's a miserable week. And I guess we should start out with the fact that before Rosh Hashanah, the big news came out literally an hour before Rosh Hashanah, so that the Jews would have 4 days to cool down and just accept it. And when the holiday is over, that Arab sources have admitted that Barak submitted a plan to Mahmoud Abbas. That he is going to give up Jerusalem and that the Temple Mount will go to the Palestinians or to the Vatican, but it will be removed from Israeli control.
Hold that thought just a moment. We'll be back in just a moment here with Barry Shamish as we evaluate the betrayal of that nation. Go right ahead, Barry.
Oh, good. So that was fast. In short, all of Judea and Samaria will be uprooted, except for 5%, which I guess they can't uproot everybody, so that 5% will be given to the Palestinians with land north of Tel Aviv. It's called the Triangle. It's just a little road that takes you all the way to Afula. You cut up that road, and Israel, of course, is a divide in half. It's a very strategic road. But they'll give it to the PLO in exchange for the 5% of Judea and Samaria that the government has agreed to keep. This is a disaster. This is a complete and utter disaster. Now, what I have written, as you know, I always look for, you know, someone somewhere out there to give me a little credit. And they can't do that because the writing from Israel, and I speak of the patriotic writing, which happens to be a lot more right-wing and religious than left-wing, although the left-wing is starting to pitch in a little bit. Nonetheless, they cannot credit me because I'm right. And what I'm right about is that there are forces at work from way beyond Israel, including the CFR and the Vatican, not just including, primarily Shimon Peres visits the Vatican, and as they say, the doo-doo hits the fan right away. I mean, as I predicted. And, of course, the CFR has its potential disaster in the making when George Bush, just before Shimon Peres arrives at the Vatican September 6th, has a meeting with Mahmoud Abbas, who he claims is representing the Palestinian people, which I don't understand to this day. He lost the elections. He's not president of Palestine or the Palestinian anything, and yet he is negotiating with Bush, even though his own people have rejected him thoroughly, and he even lost the civil war in Gaza to Hamas. Who exactly is he representing? Neither here nor there. Bush had a meeting with him, and there's a press conference. And this is a very serious press conference because Bush announces really the most drastic change of American policy in anybody's memory. George Bush says that his administration is committed to pushing Israel to its 1949 armistice lines. Now, this is no small declaration. So this is one drastic declaration of a change of policy.
Hold that thought right there.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is saying that President Bush has made an announcement recently that he is committed to pushing Israel back to the 1948, territorial boundaries. Now, anybody who knows anything about the land over there realizes that the 1948 boundary was totally indefensible, and why should anybody in their right mind with an ounce of intelligence believe that Israel is going to get peace by simply giving up more and more and more and more and more land? Since the Arabs want to destroy Israel, there's the religion calls for them to either get the Israelis to convert to a Muslim faith or to die. This is the two choices you have. Or suppose you could live there and pay your tax, but certainly there are many, many Arabs who want to drive the Israelis into the sea. So why would you simply force Israel to give up more and more land? And now, they've given up Judea and Samaria, which are right in the center of what's left of little Israel. And now, of course, they're going to force them to give up Jerusalem, which is the very essence of their Jewish faith. Why would a Christian American president do everything he could to destroy Israel, which is exactly what American foreign policy is, but the average American has no idea what's going on? So go ahead, Barry.
Well, it's actually the 1949 armistice lines, which were recognized internationally. I'm going to write something. I'm going to wait a week. The last thing I wrote is actually having enough of an effect, and I'll talk about that shortly, that I'm not going to supersede it with new writing, but I have a map on the internet of the 49 armistice lines, and you're right about one thing. There's no Jerusalem in there. There's no Golan Heights in there. In fact, it is a strip of land that can't be defended, and of course the Arabs know that, but there's something strange going on. The Arabs are not showing up for that magic meeting in Washington in November where Israel will present the President of the United States with a plan to remove itself to the 49 armistice lines. Now, I looked at this, and everyone else believes the Arab story that Israel hasn't given enough, and they can't accept Israeli concessions. And I look at this, and I said, nah, that's not what's going on. These Arabs think they're going to be much better off fighting a war, because they're going to win this war. Why should they have to accept and sign anything on a piece of paper that commits Israel to live, when it looks like all the odds have them winning the next war against Israel, and it will be a war of annihilation, and no Jew will ever be in Israel ever again, and millions will die? Why should they sign an armistice even to 1949, which I suppose they'll have to try and commit themselves to for a year or two, when they can win a war and get back their lost pride and save the soul of Islam and whatever else is involved in this? I think they're ready for the big fight now, and they don't want to Bush committing them to Israel's survival. Now, Olmert has already committed the Jewish state, Israel, and it's not a Jewish state, but we won't go into that right now. But the point is, Israel will commit itself to the 49 armistice lines, and that means 300,000 of residents of Judea and Samaria are going to be homeless refugees. And when you consider that 10,000 Gaza and northern Sumerian residents to this day have seen no compensation, you can be sure if they can't compensate 10,000 of the very religious that they despise, they will never compensate 300,000 Israelis who currently live in Judea and Samaria on what they consider Jewish. They consider, factually, they're on Jewish historical land. And there's no question about that. Why on earth should Israel compensate 300,000 people when they didn't have to compensate 10,000? So, on a very basic level, you've got yourself a massive refugee problem in Israel, but it won't matter, because we're talking about a war, and now I've gone through this, the missiles, Hezbollah, Syria, Saudi Arabia, the PLO, and Hamas, through our wonderful allies, the Egyptians, who have thoroughly broken the Sinai Treaty of 1979, the Camp David Accords, signed by Jimmy Carter, the lunkheads, has been thoroughly, completely abridged. It doesn't exist anymore. The Egyptians are using the Sinai Peninsula as a transfer point to the Hamas to get all the materials they need to build not just small weapons anymore. The Hamas are holding back, and I'll tell you how we know that. We know that because Chaim Ramon, who is our deputy prime minister, just 4 months after being charged with near pedophilia, with sticking his damn tongue down the throat of a woman 3 months past her 18th birthday in front of cameras, no less, he is now deputy prime minister, which lets you know, by the way, that they choose the most corrupt that exists in the country, and the ones that have been longest corrupted by the CFR. That's, by the way, is the case with Chaim Ramon. And I'm sorry to confuse you people with names. Don't even pay attention to the names. Just drift with the evil. The fact is that he proposed that Israel cut off the electricity to the Gaza Strip in the wake of the vicious attack on the Qassim training base in Ashkelon, where 69 soldiers were wounded. One was killed and two more are mortally wounded. And Israel did nothing, except attack a few border positions without danger to its own people, did nothing to avenge this horrible act. And I wish to remind you, people who know what I'm talking about know about this act. People who don't, well, go on the internet, look up the Qassim attack of about a week and a half ago, and you will find that the Hamas had a major victory. It attacked an Israeli army camp, a basic training base, with 69 wounded, and the Israeli government did nothing. In my day, believe me, if some air force had launched a mortar that wounded 69 IDF soldiers, there would have been bloody hell to pay.
Now, of course, was this a mortar attack, or was this a rocket attack?
It was a mortar. It was a Qassam.
It was okay. It was a mortar then?
Well, it's no. I mean, it was
a rocket attack.
Border in Ashkelon.
All right, fine, Chris. Are these coming in from Gaza?
Yeah, of course.
And of course, the thing is that Gaza was an area that the Israelis had occupied for 40 years, and of course, it was a very productive area. Certainly, they grew a lot of the fruits and vegetables that were used in Israel. In fact, they were a major source of export. A very prosperous area, about 10,000 Jewish settlers living there, and they were actually, of course, forced out at gunpoint, bayonet point, and taken back into Israel. Gaza was then turned over to the radical Islamic group, and of course, being used now as a base for lobbing rockets into Israel. Now, why would Israel turn over their land that had been occupied by the Jews for 40 years to the radical Islamic people? Who, of course, were going to use that, and of course the Israelis didn't get anything in exchange. They simply gave it nothing in exchange, and now it's being used as a base to bombard Israel with rockets. Doesn't make sense unless there is another agenda there. So pick up the story again.
Wow, Dr. Stein, you left me with so many things. I'm going to look, it was 35 years, the PLO was in power, not Hamas, and there was an election. Forget this stuff. The fact of the matter is that the Qassam that was launched against the Qassam base really was probably launched from one of the northern Israeli villages, probably a place like El Sinai on the border of Israel. But let's not get too lost in this, or we'll get bogged down in detail. And we don't need that. You're basically right. There's details that your listeners don't have to be bored with. The fact of the matter still remains that there was a very nasty incident against our army from Gaza, and our army will not go in we won't even use helicopters. It's not even a question of sending in ground troops. We actually do have the equipment to make them pay, but that is not what's going to happen. These soldiers, and by the way, I'm not talking about minor wounds. Legs were removed. There were soldiers who were had shrapnel all through their faces. They lost eyes. I mean, it's an ugly, ugly situation. When people think of 69 wounded by shrapnel from a rocket, people, this is sharp steel. Razor sharp steel flying through a tent while you're sleeping. You don't just get injuries, you get bad injuries. But the army didn't react, and well, why should they when the Israeli government is going to give the Arabs everything they want down to the 49 borders? And by the way, what that means is that Israel no longer views itself as a state, and this is not understood by people. The Israeli government no longer views itself as a legitimate state with the right to exist. That's gone. Okay? I hear music.
You hear music? Go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
Look, I'm going to go into an issue of interest, and then we'll get back to this. And that's the very interesting reaction I had to the last article I put out called And now the end is near. I called it Now the End is Here, is near, about Shimon Peres' visit to the Vatican and the November meeting of George Bush and the demand by the American administration that Israel retreat to its 49 borders. I had a lot of reaction despite the boycott against me.
All right, hold on. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish, the explorer, of course, the reaction to his latest articles up on the Internet. Barry, go right ahead.
Wow, that was a fast commercial. Okay. Look, I wrote the article, and I no longer have any hope that anyone will ever cite me for being original or right, because the writers of Israel, who now know something is wrong, are copying me. And I pointed out that the November meeting is when Israel is going to revert to the 1949 borders. No one else pointed it out, and no one else proved it. Now, you've got these hack writers like Carolyn Glick for the Jerusalem Post and Sarah Shapira for the Jerusalem Post, and much worse hacks. You only have so much English coming out of Israel, and it's being run by people who are going to let Israel go down the drain because they refuse to admit that there are outside forces ordering our government around. And until they grow up and realize that this November meeting is a direct result of Shimon Peres' visit to the Vatican on September 6th, of which I not only documented and proved with very credible sources, they're not going to understand why Israel's going to die. And this is something, look, before the Holocaust, there were no major Jewish writers explaining accurately that the Nazis are getting money from Wall Street, that they're being forced into power to actually cause a global conflagration, that many millions will die. There's no writer who sorted through the mess. And there was no writer, and believe me, there were enough people who knew that the labor Zionists, not the revisionist Zionists of Jabotinsky, but the labor Zionists were working with the Nazis, and they had cut a horrible deal with them called the transfer agreement. No one wrote about this until after the Holocaust. The Holocaust happened because no one writing woke up the world. The same thing is happening with the dreadful writing coming out of Israel. Forget America. America, the fantasies being written by people who don't know Israel, don't speak Hebrew, and can't read the Hebrew press, and really, really don't understand what's going on, is not speakable. You don't speak about American experts. There are no American experts. But the Israelis, there are people who are about to lose their lifestyles, their homes, and their own lives, not to mention their families' lives, will not mention that Israel is being controlled. And that is going to be the death of Israel, that no one but me understands this concept. Shall we go on? Do I have enough time to explain that I do have an influence?
Go right ahead. You've got another about a minute. Go ahead.
All right, very quickly. So I'm going through. Number one, go to YouTube, people. Just go to YouTube and write in my name, Chamish, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. You're going to find at least a dozen new YouTubes of my material. Incidentally, I would do it if I were you as well, because three or four of them are straight from these shows. Others are from the Jeff Wren show, and a show on Don Wiedemann's network, and the point of the matter is, out of nowhere, this week, suddenly, I'm alive on YouTube like you've never seen before.
Just for writing the truth once.
But there's something really, really exciting happened in its own way. In my last article, I told people there's a petition to...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Gotcha.
Well, this is Dr. Stan and Chris. Barry Shamish is writing on the Internet, and, of course, what's happening is other people are posting his articles and even posting his radio programs. In fact, Barry was saying that if you go to YouTube and type in Barry Shamish, you'll pull down a number of radio programs that he's done. They use at least the sound there, even though they don't have a video of it in many instances. But, you know, of course, even some of our programs, or those done with Don Wiedemann or Jeff Rentz, are posted on YouTube, and it's all happened in the last week. And suddenly people are beginning to listen to what Barry's been saying, his warning that Israel is on the verge of destruction. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, it's this article I wrote outlining how the destruction is going to come down. Suddenly Israeli writers recognize there's a meeting in Washington. Suddenly there was a meeting in Rome. All of this came from me. Not one of them opened their mouth and said, this all comes from Barry Chalmers. We didn't know before he wrote this article. They won't do it. They're ashamed. They're actually ashamed to use me as a citation. But one person this week wasn't. But what a good person it was. Ariel Zilber. Now, again, there's a petition that I wrote in my article to reopen the Rabin assassination. And there's one person who wrote a comment on the petition that Barry Chalmers has been saying this for years. It almost broke Barry Chalmers. The time has come to understand that he was always right. And the writer was Ariel Zilberg. Now, people who don't know who Ariel Zilberg is, which is, I guess, everyone in your audience, but he was the leading Israeli songwriter, singer, composer of the 70s. And he appeared at these rallies for Gush Katif, and I was very critical of using him because they were parties. People came to hear the music instead of to genuinely protest. But he was my favorite writer in the 70s. Now, I'm going to take a tremendous liberty. For those of you who don't know him, I'm going to give you just two lines of his most famous song. It was the best-selling song in Israel. In all polls that I've read, it's considered the number one or number two or number three best-selling, most tasteful and enjoyed Israeli song. And it just simply goes, Rusi Shmulik, who Hukarelach, Mishaleach, Elif Neshikot. Now, the words are, run, Shmulik is calling you. And he sends you 1,000 kisses. That song is a national anthem of Israel. Ariel Zilber opened his mouth and said, it's time to acknowledge that I'm the one who's been behind all these things for many years, and it's time to say openly that I'm right. And by the way, that made my week, because believe you me, this ignorance of what I'm doing, and after all I've suffered, and I don't want to make myself a martyr, but I have suffered miserably at the hands of the Israeli establishment. Finally, a name that people respect widely opened his mouth and said it's time I was recognized for what I did. Now we go on. I guess that's patting myself in the back, but what the heck, I deserve it.
You might as well. Go ahead.
All right. Look, the Arabs right now are really planning to wipe out Israel, and I'll tell you how it's going to be done. Well, as if I haven't told you. I'm not going to rehash. I'm just going to do this week. Israel bombs something in Syria.
This something they said was four or five planes up there, five or six planes?
I'm not sure how many. I heard two planes, actually.
All right.
I heard two planes from the northeast. It doesn't matter because it's all been covered up. By both sides, by the way. The Syrians don't want to say what was bombed either. The Israelis, there were two signs that nobody else was looking at, but I think it's time that people who knew my writing and understood what I'm getting at looked at this bombing the way it should be looked at. Number one, and this is incredible, look, there are two. Number one, the Israeli Air Force, when it bombs, doesn't drop gas tanks from its airplanes unless there's a darn good reason. That's a little bit of evidence landing on Syrian soil. They drop two fuel tanks, and that to me is a sign that something went a little wrong. They were rushing to get out of there. But more to the point, the issue of Turkey. Turkey was where these planes apparently landed. Oops, now I hear music.
Go right ahead. Anyway, of course, the Israeli fighters, no matter how many of them there were, two, four, five, and they landed apparently in Turkey, and because they'd even come in through Turkey, which of course means that the Turks were allowing the Israelis to use their airspace. And the question is, what's going on? And we'll address that in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Barry Chalmers. Barry, pick the story up there.
Look, again, you have to know my writing to understand that Turkey is the home of the Danme, the tribe that preserved the Sabbatean. Well, you can call it a cult, but it's certainly a secret cult, and it certainly is controlling the Council on Foreign Relations, and we've done this on your show before, and this is the time to go into it, but Turkey is being run by the Sabbateans. Now, this is a very important fact, because they're an Islamic country that let Israel land its planes before they bombed Syria. And that's one very serious act of treason amongst Muslims, that it would do such a thing. And people are asking why Turkey would do such a thing. Does it hate Syria? Does it have some sort of pact against Syria, which it does not? What it does, it has the ultimate pact with Israel. They are both, at least in the upper establishment, they're both run by the same people, and that is the Sabbateans. Now, I'm going to only do this very, very quickly, because this isn't the show to do this. We may do this some other show again, if you'd like. But the founders of Israel did not found a shelter for the Jews. They founded a home to make a brand new Judaism, based on the 80,000 Jews they got out of Germany through something called the Transfer Agreement. The messiahs of labor Zionism, they are not the messiahs you would imagine. They are Sabbatai Tzvi, or Shabbat Tzvi, who on June 18th of 1666 declared he was the messiah of the Jews, and I stress the Vatican was in on this, because this spread to Jews throughout the world. The books say from Iran to Mexico. The fact of the matter is that he eventually, under duress, converted to Islam, and this led to the Danme, the Turkish cult, believing it was a sign from their Messiah that we should all convert to other religions, and I'm not going to go into the details of that. 70 years later, Jacob Frank, the new Sabbatean from Europe, became the second Messiah, and he, in Frankfurt, Germany, in 1785, allied himself with Adam Weishaupt of the Vatican's Illuminati, and the Rothschild brothers, sort of led by their father, Mayor Amschel Rothschild. This is the disaster that has befallen the Jews. Are these two horrible messiahs, so-called messiahs?
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment, Perry. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Perry was just talking about something most Americans are totally unaware of, and that is the Sabbatean movement. It is a set from Israel, but they're really not Israelis. They're Jewish, but of course they follow a different Messiah, a different religion altogether, and they date back into the 1600s. And you know, I've been at this for a long time, for 45 years. And I'll have to admit that until recent years, I'd never heard of the Sabbateans. However, you can find them in the American Encyclopedia, Encyclopedia Americana, and they will tell you about the Sabbateans. You can go up on the Internet and check them out. This is something that many people do not understand, and they mistake so much of what goes on today for the Zionist influence in the American government. It is not Zionism, but it is a specific branch of Zionism, and it is really the Sabbatean or the Frankists, which Barry talks about, who he feels, and I tend to agree with him, are the enemies not only of Israel, but of America as well. So pick up the story there.
Well, believe me, they're Israeli. They're the true Israelis. It's the Jews who aren't Israelis. After the election, before the previous election, where Peres lost, he made his very famous quote. He was asked who lost the election, and he said the Israelis lost, the Jews won. To him, there's a very big difference. Peres is a murderer on behalf of Sabbateans, not on behalf of Jews. They hate Jews. But I'm going to go back to my original point. The fact is that after this bombing in Syria, the Arabs went crazy, but the Iranians issued a threat that, in combination with other threats, is extremely, extremely worrisome. They assured the world that if Israel attacked attack Syria again, 600 missiles, long-range missiles, are aimed at 600 different targets in Israel with their usual chemical and biological heads. The point of the matter is, this is the only thing that would bring Iran into the conflict instead of using Hezbollah, is if Syria was attacked again. The Arabs have gone crazy this week. Absolutely nuts. Now, I'm not going to do this as well. It will be all night long on attacks on Jews. But I'm going to give one example, and that's the example of Bill from near Denver, a friend of mine I've visited on numerous occasions when I've spoken in Denver. He sends us something called the War Report. Usually it's 20 emails long, which is pretty long. This week it was 97. Mostly attacks against Israelis and Jews. The Arabs are going nuts now. They're attacking, and nobody knows this here, by the way. Nobody knows that Israelis are under siege right now, under violent siege. And no one understands the mess Israel's in right now. You know what? Can I plug myself here now?
Go right ahead, Barry.
Folks, if you don't actually read me, we don't have a chance, because I'm talking a foreign language. Unless you really want to interpret this new language and this new history of Israel, I think you better look at my books. Go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. At the top of the page it says search. Write in my name, Chamish, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. And of all the books, I would get Bye Bye Gaza first. It's my newest book, but it actually explains what we're sort of talking about on this show, and you are finding so incredibly confusing. That book actually explains it. There are other books, but folks, I know you're sitting at your radio and you don't know what I'm saying. You know, there are too many names, too many concepts that are not the Israel you've been hearing about. Nonetheless, it's actually the real truth, by the way. And I have a real problem that way. And one of the reasons I've been writing books in such amazing volume, okay, is that the reality that I've discovered is so opposite the reality of Israel we've been taught, that I have endless new subjects to discuss from my point of view. Get the books at lulu.com. Go to my website. Go to barrychamish.com. You'll like it. I have a new DVD. It's called The Vatican's New Crusade Against Jerusalem. I also have my speech in Denver from a month and a half ago, and the very, very strange UFO DVD. All of them. I'm going to give you my phone number, my cell number. Only for ordering, please, you may dial 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. Finally, you may email me, chamish@netvision.net.il. That's C-H-A-M-I-S-H, chamish@netvision, N-E-T-V-I-S-I-O-N.net.il, chamish@netvision.net.il. to order books directly from me if you want. Now let's go back to this mess in Israel. What we've got this week, the Arabs are pulling out of George Bush's grand soiree this November because they think they've got Israel, and so do the people of Israel. Yesterday I got a phone call from 3 in the morning, no less, from my friend Baruch in Israel, and he says, Barry, we're cooked. I said, our goose is cooked, it's over with. And he was almost sounded happy. And I can't understand why he was sounding happy, but it sounded happy. But he says, you were right, and the goose is actually cooked. It's just a matter of time before Israel disappears. And by the way, that is a fact. Israel is going to disappear because its leaders have decided that Israel will disappear. Now, the worst of the leaders of all, of course, is Shimon Peres. He's a murderer. He murdered Rabin, Peres, Ze'evi, and by the way, that's just the start. Just the start. I'm not going to do any more than that. I'm just going to say that Madonna, the singer who made a few movies, visited after Rosh Hashanah this so-called Kabbalist, which is a joke. She belongs to a Kabbalist center in Los Angeles, which was founded by someone who was in my air. He was a missile shooter in at the same time I was a missile shooter in the Israeli Air Force. I don't remember meeting him, but he was in my unit during the Lebanon War of 1982. I read his biography. Nonetheless, she's a member of that money-making, hokey, Kabbalistic group in Los Angeles. She brings a few of her celebrity friends to Israel, and who they meet? They meet the murderer, Shimon Peres. Now, just to let you know what true blue knuckleheads the Jerusalem Post is, someone named Caleb Ben David, it doesn't matter, forget all these, a minor writer, an extremely minor writer to say the least, writes that this proves that Madonna has deep ties to Judaism. I mean, that's the stupidest statement you've ever heard. Peres is a murderer, that's number one. He hates Jews, that's number two. Okay, and Madonna and her celebrity friends meeting him is the ultimate insult to Jews, and I assume she doesn't know what she's doing. Oh, people, by the way, you can write her and her husband, Guy Ritchie, and somehow get to her and tell her to stay away from Peres and stop doing Jews favors just by going on the Internet, I suppose. Somebody's got to stop this woman. She's actually supporting the murder of Israel worldwide because she has a little fame because she sang a couple crappy songs. She can actually spread this stuff. That was Peres' week after visiting the Vatican and selling out the country. He gets to meet Madonna. Now, how much time do we have left?
We've got, I'd say, about 9 minutes.
Oh, boy. Okay, I'm going to do it very, very quickly. What's new? Number one, I want to talk economics briefly. The Israeli Bureau of Statistics released this week a shocking statistic. 35.8% of Israeli children are malnourished. People, I'm going to repeat that figure if you didn't hear me properly. 35.8% of Israeli children don't even have a jam sandwich to take to school. They're truly malnourished. Now, by the way, in Uganda, they're better fed. Israel is starving to death, and no one understands this. No one gets this message. You've got more than a third of Israel's children don't have enough to eat at any time, not even bread. This is wearing the Israeli people down. When 36% of their children are being brought up without enough food, you think that's not going to affect their mentality, their intelligence, and the future of the country? And this is up from the year before. I've been stressing this figure, but 2 years ago it was only 31%. Something drastic happened in 2 years to shoot up to 36%. This is a scandal beyond scandals. And it's, well, what can I tell you? In America, I assume that if you go to your local dumpster, you'll get enough nutrition not to be malnourished. Well, that's not the case in Israel. More than a third of its children no longer have enough nutrition to have a normal brain, an actual normal functioning brain living up to their potential. No country in the world are Jews treated as badly as they are in Israel. And you have to understand this fact. I just thought I'd mention the financial scandal that's bringing down Israel as well. When your children are starving in front of you, you're not going to be a very good fighter, no matter how much the Arabs are going to rape the women of Israel and shoot their husbands. If you're not eating well enough, you're not going to be fighting back very well. And I assume, by the way, that this in some way is being done on purpose. Now, I'm going to bring up one other issue, just one other that I think you should know about. I've been writing Joel Skousen. He's a Salt Lake City reporter, oh, for many years. I hosted him in Jerusalem. He was a big hit there at the Rabin Conference. Nonetheless, he wrote a story about Iraq this week with one little fact that bothered me. He said that two sergeants signed an op-ed of the New York Times saying that the war in Iraq was immoral and we have to pull out of Iraq. And, well, what was it, 2 days later? They were dead in Iraq. Not, by the way, killed by Arabs. They were killed in a truck accident. Now, I wrote Joel last night. He has not returned my letter. I'm very insulted.
No, don't be, because Joel's out of town this week, so that's the reason he hasn't contacted
you. Fair enough.
He's not going to be on my program either, so don't misjudge him. I'm sure
I'm not misjudging him. If anything, I was being a little humorous.
All right, fine.
I didn't. Look.
He's not ignoring you at all. He thinks very highly of you.
Oh, believe me, I wasn't attacking Joel. That wasn't the intention here. I'm going back to where it was. He didn't reply to my letter, and I'm very, very hurt. I wrote Joel a letter, and I said to him, Joel, these two soldiers that you write about, was this an assassination or not? Who dies in a truck accident after being in an op-ed in the New York Times?
Well, I think if people have to know, there were seven soldiers who were in the op-ed.
Yes.
And two of them are dead. One of them was accidentally just shot in the head. And, of course, we don't know what's happened to the other four. This op-ed was in August. And, this is rather frightening to think that if you criticize what the government policy is, maybe it's just coincidence. Or maybe it's not. We don't know. But we do know that it's I think it's rather unusual for two sergeants to die when their truck turns over accidentally.
And both of them were assigned to the New York Times op-ed.
Right.
You did a little research between the last show, didn't you?
Right.
Well done. Well done. Well, I might as well just throw in the obvious one. Pat Tillman was shot from 10 feet away. And by the way, Joel did a fine article on this as well. He was shot three times, twice when he was on the ground from 10 feet away. They are killing people who know too much and are getting in the way of this new world order. If you get in the way, they'll kill you. I know this from Israel. I was almost a victim. I was lying dead in the hospital. These people are dying. I recovered. I came to America and I'm alive. These people didn't recover. They died in a strange car crash. I'm trying to say a very simple statement. You do not oppose these people anymore. They have lost, they've lost their sense of humor completely.
Joel, pardon me, Barry, you'd said this afternoon when we talked that actually when you were in the hospital in Israel, there were people in the hospital who told you you'd better get out of Israel because they're going to get you.
Well, one of them was Baruch, who phoned me and said the country's cooked now. There are a few people who realize I was on a hit list, that too many bad things were happening to me too fast, and I was on somebody's hit list. People write me, they say, when are you coming back home and meeting Israel? And my new wife wants to actually move there someday, but I write the same thing, after the revolution. If you guys don't get rid of these people, I'm not going to walk into a trap where I'm going to die. It's that simple. I'm not going anywhere where I'm going to die right now.
We don't want you to die because right now we need you, because you've got a tremendous knowledge of the history of Israel and these various personalities who are intent upon betraying Israel.
Oh, Israel has been so thoroughly betrayed. Look, people, the Israeli people are the vast majority. There may be, I'm guessing, 3,000 to 10,000 active Sabbateans who are destroying 5.5 million good Israeli citizens. This is the Holocaust coming up. And unless, by the way, I'm saying unless, I don't believe it's possible anymore. The Arabs hate us every bit as much as the Nazis ever did. Our so-called allies in the United States is a joke. The President of the United States, his grandfather funneled more money to Hitler than any American of his time, and now his grandson is doing the same thing with the Arabs. We are having history repeat itself in our generation before our very eyes, and no one is standing up to say enough is enough except for me, and I'm really tired of being alone about this.
Well, of course, sir, we want you to stay in there and keep getting the information out. This is your job. This is my job. And you keep gathering the information. Why, I'll keep giving you a voice as long as Radio Liberty is sitting on the air.
So you hang on there.
We'll be back. And remember, if you want to get Barry's material, it's www.lulu.com. That's lulu.com. Just type in Barry's name, Shamish, and he's got, I think, 9 books or so. Fascinating material. One of them especially, of course, Return of the Giants. I think it's a very important book, The Return of the Giants, but Baba Gaza is important, too. Well, Barry, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
I'm going to wrap it up like this. Last night, Baruch woke me up, and I turned on the TV, and there was a show on the History Channel about Krav Maga. Krav Maga is Israeli martial art used in the army, but a lot of people know it. Now, I had watched the show twice before falling asleep both times. The heat in Florida was pretty bad. Last night was nice and cool, and I turned on the show, and lo and behold, the last 15 minutes of the show were an interview and of Dennis Hanover. I introduced Krav Maga to the world, I guess, 25 years ago. I wrote an article for Black Belt magazine. I got all of like $100. I guess it's worth $300 today. It's the Bible of the martial arts magazine, where I went with Dennis Hanover, my friend Jennifer Frey, who today works for People magazine, and we followed the Krav Maga artist. And we learned about Krav Maga and took terrific pictures, and I saw him on TV. And he's 75 years old, doesn't look a day over 60 anyways. He's the same person, and he's fighting for Jewish sanctity. The same words he used on us. My family died in the Holocaust. My side, my parents were the only survivors. I learned to fight so it would never happen again. He said the same thing to these reporters from History Magazine, and I have bad news for him. It's going to happen to him again. For all the Krav Maga and all the pride and all the Jewish pride the man has got, it's going to happen to him and his children all over again if the Dennis Hanovers of the world don't take that army and that government that once made us proud and turn it back into a Jewish government that we can all be proud of. And I mean, we have to do it tomorrow. He is going to be the next victim of the next Holocaust, no matter how strong he is. And that's what I thought last night. I'm leaving you with that thought.
All right, fine. Well, I think that we are involved, certainly, in a terrible, terrible time. I think we're on the verge of a major war, not only in the Near East, but on the Middle East, and yet, of course, most Americans are totally oblivious of what's going on. Well, Barry's on the front lines, sounding the alarm from the Israeli point of view, and certainly I'm on the front line, sounding the alarm from the Christian point of view, and together perhaps we'll have some influence. At least, of course, we can hope it. But really, in the final analysis, in my opinion, this is God's battle. We are just called to do our best. God bless. Thanks so very much, Barry.
I'll see you coming up on Wednesday.
Right.
Bye, and thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we hope that you enjoyed Barry Shamish. He's got a lot of fascinating information from a historical point of view, and of course we have to understand that nothing is as it appears to be, and let me suggest that you check out the Sabbatean movement of Judaism. It really is not a Jewish movement at all. It's made up of people who hate Jews. Although nominally they themselves are Jews, why do you think Henry Kissinger is doing everything he can today to destroy Israel? Why would Henry Kissinger do that? Why? Because he is loyalty is not to Israel, but to the Sabbatean movement, at least in my opinion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, of course, we hope many of you will want to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, I did not go into the Sabbateans. If I ever redo the book, I will. But certainly this is an important part of the Brotherhood. And you can look up the Sabbateans on the Internet. and you'll learn a great many things you'll never hear elsewhere. We have the internet now, and we want you to check everything we say, because, of course, this is how we're going to get people informed. Sabbatain, S-A-B-B-A-T-A-I-N, I believe. But Sabbati, S-A-B-A-T-T-I, was the prophet. Of course, he was an apostate Jew who defected and joined the Muslim faith. And, of course, it led literally hundreds of thousands of Jews away from the traditional Israeli faith into Sabbataism. Sabbati, S-A-B-A-T-T-I, was his name. And then, of course, they're also known as the Frankists, named after Jacob Frank, who is, of course, the next philosopher, the next Jewish Messiah, probably 70 years later. Well, under any circumstances, we do hope that you'll read our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll certainly get our talk on the Forbidden Secret, which will give you tremendous insight to what this is about. You want to get our 4-tape or 4-CD set entitled The Secret Behind the Secret, which will introduce you to the material being circulated under the auspices of Oprah Winfrey by Rhonda Burns, and certainly it's been endorsed by Sidney Larry King and by Ellen DeGeneres and by Jim Carrey, and all these very wealthy people will tell you the secret. It will give you prosperity. Well, I want to tell you the truth of the matter is the secret may give you prosperity, but at the cost of your eternal soul, because you're opening up your very mind to the demonic possession. There really are forces out there. Spiritual forces are looking, of course, to control the souls of men. So the four-tape or four-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret is very important. We want to remind our listeners that you can get any or all of the items we talk about if you'd like more information. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you in the listening audience will give serious consideration to coming to our October 28th all-day program, our annual Radio Liberty Seminar that's held here in the Monterey Bay area, on the North Shore of Monterey Bay at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We've been there for a number of years. We're always very happy with the facilities. And so that's October the 28th. And start at 8 o'clock in the morning and go through till 5:30 in the evening. Great lineup of speakers. So if you're interested, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free catalog, a free newsletter from Radio Liberty, we'll be glad to send it. If you'd like to get an emergency food catalog or for emergency supplies, which everybody should be laying in, if you'd like to get a health catalog, if you'd like to get a regular catalog, again, our number 1-800-544-8927. And then understand that we are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. And Radio Liberty is on the front lines of that battle. If you'd like to, of course, to help us, our number, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, 1-800-544-8927. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.